This is Doug Miller. Fellowship, teaching, prayers, and the breaking of bread. Any good meeting will have these things going on in it. Any good church. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back again with the Word of God in hand, knowing surely and certainly that God will fulfill His promise. This Word will not return to Him void. It will accomplish that which He pleases, and it will profit in the thing whereto He sends it. And if you are here with the Word of God in hand and ready to listen, it will profit you. You will profit from it. And if you would be kind enough to get on the phone and call up a friend and tell them to listen in as well, it'll profit them and you'll be blessed by that. So do it. Because, as you've heard me say on here, if you've listened to Dialogue for any length of time, you're the only advertisers we have. And we need you. You are a part of this ministry, surely and certainly. And to that end, I trust that you are praying for Dialogue. I beg you, write our names down in your little prayer list and pray for Dialogue, because without your prayers, this ministry will go absolutely nowhere. And with your prayers, all of the imps and demons in hell and the devil himself cannot stop it from doing that which God has raised it up to do. So pray for Dialogue, I beg you. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, we have got also an email address here. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We've got a web page, and we've got a lot of our broadcasts on there. You can pull them down and listen to them from anywhere in the world, really. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. If you put .com, you'll get something else. DialogueMinistries.org. All right? And finally, if you want to talk to me, call me. Be delighted to hear from you, but I won't be there immediately. I don't have a secretary, you know, just sitting there waiting to answer the phone. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you'll get a recording, and you leave a message, and I promise you, get back to you. Now, I began last week by announcing this, and here it comes again. On May 12th, which is a Saturday, we will have an all-day Dialogue conference in Oklahoma City at a location which is yet to be determined. Now, you keep listening to this. It'll be in Oklahoma City, though. We had the conference that we put on last year, we held down at Camp Klassen in the Arbuckle Mountains, and we want to do it in Oklahoma City this time. We figure it'll be closer that way, that maybe we will draw more people, and we will not be serving a meal this time as we did down at Camp Klassen, but we will, you know, turn people loose at noon to go out and get lunch wherever they want to get it. We'll get back together again. We'll start in the morning. We'll end in the afternoon as we did last time. And you will be blessed if you will show up at this conference with your Bible in hand. And once again, just keep listening and keep listening to KQCV, because there will be announcements going out about this conference and when and where it will be and so on and so forth. Okay. I believe that does it for the announcements. Let's look in the Word of God. We are in the 20th chapter of Acts. We got down to the 7th verse last time, and we saw the disciples coming together to break bread. Now, remember, any healthy church, any assembly that is doing what it ought to be doing will have the four meetings in it that I referred to earlier and that I talked about last time. You can go back in the 2nd chapter of Acts and you can see them. One is fellowship. Well, that's easy enough. People will come together to see their other believers, and generally, if they like the people in the church, they have a good time, get together, and have a picnic on Sunday afternoon, play a little volleyball and there's just a lot to be said about getting together with other believers, just to be around them. We are thrown in with all kinds of people out in the world. People who aren't saved, people who don't care if they're saved or not, people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them, who use his name to punctuate sentences with, who absolutely cannot put a sentence together without lading it with profanity and swearing and cursing. And, you're just defiled out there. It's a good thing to be able to get together with other believers. It's a good thing, assuming you're in a church where you have a halfway decent preacher who loves the Lord Jesus and is into this word and is telling the truth. Great thing to be able to get together for some sound, solid teaching. Now, my experience is that believers are a little less enthusiastic about getting together and praying. I know that many of you, if you're in a church and you're getting together on Wednesday nights for prayer meetings, I'd suggest you be there. If there are certain times, maybe it's not Wednesday night, if there are times when you get together with other believers for the purpose of praying, you had better be there. If you are not there to pray with other believers, there's only one reason that I can think of, and it's because you really don't think it's all that important. Well, if you don't think that's important, I've got news for you. You're a sitting duck spiritually. You say, well, I can pray at home. Yes, I'll bet you can. And if you are not getting together to pray with other believers, I can almost guarantee you that your individual prayer life, individually, in your own room at home, is probably weak and not very effective. In my experience, now if I've stepped on some toes there, fine, I hope so. In my experience, individuals who are powerful in their individual prayer lives are also powerful in their corporate prayer lives. And, on Wednesday evenings, when the churches come together, many of them, to have prayer meetings, just take a look and see how few people show up at those. It's quite interesting. But prayer meetings are an important, critical part of any church's existence. And then, as we saw last time, the breaking of bread, coming together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, looking on that bread, looking on that wine, having our hearts drawn back to Calvary, seeing him as the central one, as the head, the one who receives all worship and honor and glory, gathered together around the table with other believers, remembering the Lord. I can't think of anything more important. As we saw last time, the disciples in Troas, they came together to break bread, not to hear Paul. But when they came together, after they had broken bread, Paul preached. And let's see what he did here. We've got, it's kind of interesting what we've got here, beginning with chapter, with verse 7. And we'll just read on down here and see what happened. First day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, if you're wondering, if you're thinking, well, here they were, they got together Sunday morning, and Paul kept preaching until midnight. Boy, that was a long sermon. No, I don't think they got together on Sunday morning. I just imagine that they got together on Sunday evening. Why do I think that? Because Sunday at that time, I mean, in this secular society they were living in, there was nothing special about Sunday. As far as the rest of the people in that community, where it was just another day of the week. And these people had jobs they had to go to. And if they were slaves, they, you know, it was probably not easy for them to get away and go down to the meeting. And they, I am quite certain that these early churches met together in the evenings. Well, that's fine. There is no particular time of the day in this book that I can see when we ought to get together. We get together in the meeting I am in on Lord's Day morning, but that's fine. We can do that. But I just imagine that this meeting was held on an evening of 9, 10 o'clock or so. So the idea of Paul getting up and preaching till midnight is not quite as strange as it might sound to us today. But what follows is not all that strange either. Verse 8, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching or discoursing, Dea Legomenon, I think, something like that. Dialogomenu, I think is the Greek. If I pronounced it wrong, you'll forgive me. But he was discoursing, and he preached this kid to sleep, and I feel a little bit better about that because I've done a lot of preaching in my days, and I spend a lot of time actually on the platform, and it's not unusual for me to put people to sleep. And I'll, you know, and that's, they'll sit out there and go to sleep, and then later on, they'll say, oh, I just was resting my eyes. Yeah, I know you were resting your eyes. Don't apologize for it. I feel perfectly comfortable if people are sitting out there and they're going to sleep to the sound of my voice. Well, I can always say, yeah, Paul could do that too. So I don't feel like I'm in such bad company. Paul preached this kid to sleep. He was a young man. He went to sleep. And let this be a lesson to you, however. All of you who want to sit in there and sleep during the sermon, you're in danger. Look at this. This kid was sitting in the window, and he fell out the window and down from the third story up, and they thought he was dead. I mean, bam. Think about that. That's about a 30-foot drop. It's a long way down, and you know, as the saying goes, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop. Yeah, kind of jarring, and they took him up for dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Well, okay, I don't know from reading this exactly what Paul's part in it was with the recovery. Paul may have been the one that healed him. He may have healed him. Or maybe the kid was just knocked out and Paul revived him. I don't know. I can't tell from this. But I can tell you this. If Paul healed him and if Paul revived him, good, he should have. He's the one who put him to sleep, wasn't he? So there you are. And so all of you preachers out there, if you're preaching your congregations into a stupor, well, do something to revive them, you know. Or maybe sit them in windows along, I don't know. Obviously, I'm being silly, aren't I? Well, let's pass on. But they were comforted, and in verse 13, and we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And Paul, you know, he sends these others on ahead, of which Luke was obviously one, and but he's going to walk. Wow. You know, I think about this guy. I mean, he walked all over the Eastern Mediterranean, and many of these guys with him. I mean, you know, think about this. I'm, you know, in Odessa, and I think I'll just walk down to El Paso. Yeah. I'm in Austin. I think I'll walk down to Corpus Christi. I'm in, you know, Greenville. I'll walk to Dallas and so on. I'm in Oklahoma City. Walk down to Ardmore. Think of this. These guys went on foot. And Paul did this. I mean, what better way to do it? And, of course, at this time, it was fairly safe on these roads because the Roman army was out there, and they had pretty well swept pirates off the sea and criminals off the roads. And Paul goes on foot. And when he met with us at Assos, we have in verse 14, we took him in and came to Mytilene, and we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. And in Miletus, which was, a port very close to Ephesus, we have this, that's where they wind up, and we have Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So here we have Paul and these others now, and they have gotten back to Ephesus, and here's where the riot was. Here's where the riot was in Ephesus that he barely escaped from by the skin of his teeth back in chapter 19. He's gone back over across the Dardanelles into Macedonia, come back to Troas, and kind of made a big circuit. And here he is back, not exactly in Ephesus, but in Miletus. Now, at Miletus, we learned something here. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he is going to find himself in a mess, the like of which he's been in a lot of trouble. I mean, he's been beaten about the head and shoulders. He's been whipped with rods and stoned. He's been run out of town after town after town. He's been jailed. He's been cursed. He's been spat upon, and I don't know. But in Jerusalem, and he is bound and determined to go down there, he is going to get into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. But right now, he is in Miletus, and we have a passage here beginning in verse 17 that is so important. We are not going to be able to finish it today because we are rapidly running out of time. And so we will come back, Lord willing, and finish it next week. But let's go ahead and begin it today. At Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the assembly, the church. Now, I want to ask you a question. And in asking it, I'm sure I'll get on some toes here. But I need you. If this gets on your toes, you need to have your toes gotten on. Why did Paul not call for the pastor of the church? I have heard so many people say that Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. I've heard them say that John was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Some of you out there listening to me right now are no doubt the pastor of certain churches. Does it occur to you that these churches had no individual that was the pastor of the church? You've heard me say this on here before, and I am telling you that it is the absolute truth, and you need to attend to it and look at it. Does it make any difference? Yes, it makes a difference. Yes, it makes a difference. There is no such thing in the New Testament as the pastor of the church. Now you say, well, yes, there is. Fine, you show it to me. For years now, I've been asking people to show me this. Just show it to me from the New Testament, and I'll throw in with you, and we will agree, and I'll quit saying these sorts of things over the air or any other way. There is no such thing. Well, you say, okay, I can't show it to you, but that doesn't mean we can't have one. No, of course, you can have one. But that is not God's way. You want me to show you God's way? That's what I'm getting ready to do. And this is God's way, and you can put this in the bank. And there's a reason for it. The New Testamental pattern, excuse me, a little tongue twister there. I don't know why. But the New Testamental pattern is not the pastor, a single pastor in a church, but pastors, plural, in a church. The pastor of the church, unknown to the New Testament. Pastors, plural, in a church, absolutely, this is the New Testamental pattern, and this is critical. Why is this? Well, I'll give you several reasons, and as I say, we won't have time to really get into them today, but I'll give you several reasons, beginning with this one. For one reason, for the main reason, perhaps, the pastor, you have one individual who is in a church and he is over the church, that individual is having to bear up the whole thing by himself. And I am telling you that is more weight than anyone can bear up under. It is more responsibility than any one man can bear up under. You'll notice I didn't say any one woman because women pastors, once again, that's unknown in the New Testament. Sorry about that. It is unknown in the New Testament. These pastors are men, and no man can bear up under this weight. And God, in his mercy and grace and love and kindness to us, has seen to it that there is a plurality of pastors so that they can strengthen and help and encourage one another and can do what a pastor ought to do, because the pastor is indeed the shepherd of the flock. He's the one that watches out for the flock. He is the one who is right at the center of the assembly as far as taking care of the people. And they are always in the New Testament a plurality. Now, for those of you out there who say, well, we don't have elders or elders in our church, you're saying perhaps you keep saying pastor when this says elders. Well, I'll explain that to you, but it'll take me to next time to get into it. Right now, let me just say this. The pastors and the elders are the same things, and the overseers, episcopes, the overseers, it's all the same group of men. Different, this signifies different things, but it's all the same bunch. And we will get into this the next time. It is critical you understand this. But that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.